I always like to start each homily with a couple of thoughts to inspire you. And the first one is this: the soul cannot live without love. All depends on providing it with a worthy object, and that object is God. And the second one is this: to me, nothing is so consoling, so piercing, so thrilling, so overcoming as the Mass. It is not a mere form of words. It is a great action, the greatest action that can be on earth. As always, it's so good to be with you today, and I truly enjoy what I consider to be our family time together. See, we're one big family here at St. Albert the Great Community, and what a joy it is to come together and celebrate the Mass together. And it's comforting in a crazy, sometimes crazy, mixed up world to know that you belong to a community that really cares about you. This morning's gospel reading takes us into some of Jesus' greatest and most challenging spiritual instruction concerning how we are to relate to other people. And if you study the different commentaries of the theologians on this topic, it's amazing how they're all over the page with the interpretation of Jesus' words. And I think there's a reason because of that. And the reason is because the teaching is sort of complicated, and it really goes against the grain of what seems normal and reasonable to ask of us. For example, Jesus says, love those who love you and those who hate you. Bless those who speak good of you and those who curse you. Pray for those who are kind to you and those who mistreat you. The whole thing just sort of reminds me of another situation when the disciples were grumbling amidst themselves after Jesus talked about the future institution of the Eucharist. Namely, he said, drinking my blood and eating my flesh. They were just in sort of tore up about it. What did that mean? Because it goes against the grain of sensibility. And they said among themselves, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Sort of what we're dealing with here this morning. Now, of course, we have no problem with embracing the part where we are called to love those who love us in return. That's pretty easy, isn't it? But really, that's called reciprocation, or another word is quid pro quo, meaning you scratch my back and I'll scratch your back. That's pretty easy. Jesus acknowledged that anybody can do that. There's no virtue in that, in the sense there's no credit to you to love those who love you in return. But he says to love those who hate you, well, that's a different story. So let me ask you, Jesus, when you were being mocked and spit upon while you were hanging on the cross, did you really mean it when you said to those who persecuted you and who hated you, Father, forgive them? And David, as we read in the story this morning, when you had the perfect opportunity to thrust the spear into the heart of your great nemesis Saul and be rid of him with his and all of the things they were pursuing him, why didn't you do that? Why didn't you go ahead and do that? And then Stephen, who was the first martyr of the church, when the people were furious at you, and it says they were just grinding their teeth, they were so mad, and as you felt the pain of each one of the stones that they hurled at you, did you really mean it when you drew that last breath and you said, Lord, do not hold this against them? Well, do you think they meant it? What do you think, church? Did Jesus, David, and Stephen really mean it? Well, my answer would be yes, absolutely they meant it. The question is, how were they able to do it? How do I apply this practically in a practical sense? And even better still, how do we ourselves go about unraveling this teaching in order that we can show greater love to those who don't love us in return? That's going to be our challenge in the time that we have remaining this morning. A few thoughts. First of all, live by Luke 6:31. Now, you may not recognize the reference, but I'm sure that most, if not all of you here, have heard this and you've learned it and you can say it by heart. So does it help you when I say that Luke 6:31 is also known as the Golden Rule? Have you ever heard of the Golden Rule? Do to others, as Jesus says, as you would have them do to you. And here's a very interesting fact. I like to throw facts in every now and then. Closely tied to the Golden Rule is the Silver Rule. Have you ever heard of the Silver Rule? And it's located in the fourth chapter of Tobit. And it goes like this. Do to no one what you yourself dislike. So whether you communicate it in the golden or in the silver way, the message is still the same. Treat others the way you would like to be treated. That's the bottom line. Think about this for a moment. That seems pretty radical, doesn't it? Seems really, really a far-reaching kind of idea. But maybe this teaching is not that far off. Maybe this teaching is really practical. Maybe this teaching is really critical to the well-being of our society. Think about this. Look at all the fragmentation that we see going on in our world today. And people acknowledge that it is because of the prevalence of hate. Hate is ripping us apart at the seams. It's tearing the fabric of our culture today. And think about this. If it is left unchecked, where do you think it will lead? Well, it's going to continue to do this. It's just going to lead us into a downward spiral. But now let's flip the situation. What do you think our world would look like today if it was a universal practice to live by the Golden Rule? Would it be different? Well, of course it would. Ceasing of wars, elimination of poverty, end of discrimination, and most amazingly of all, we might have a truly bipartisan government in the United States. It really seems to me that striving to attain this teaching has a very practical component to it when we consider the well-being of our world and our society. The second thing is to remember that God practices the Golden Rule when it comes to you. God practices the Golden Rule when it comes to you. And this point is critical. It is imperative if you're interested in relating to other people in a positive and a healthy way. Now, this one's really easy to gauge. It really is. And it, how well you have integrated this point into your life. It's very easy. Let me tell you what it'll be. All you have to do is this. Ask yourself this. How much do you judge other people? How judging are you of other people? Because as we shall see next week in the gospel, judging others is often found in a source of pride. But here's the reality of our situation. Let's not puff ourselves up too quickly, okay? Because no matter how perfect you might be, when we realize just how much God could judge each one of us if he wanted to, we realize how loving that we should be to all people. See, everybody needs the benefit of a merciful standard. We're all standing in need of God's mercy. And today's psalm brings this out beautifully. What does he say? He says, "Merciful and gracious is the Lord to you, slow to anger and abounding in kindness. Not according to our sins does he deal with us, nor does he respond to us according to our crimes. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God put out our transgressions from us." Very important. And then Paul really nails it. If you look in the third chapter of Colossians, he just hits this one right on the head. He says this, "My dear brothers and sisters, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another." And then here's the main point. Forgive, he says, as the Lord forgave who? You. That's right. Okay. So see, you're standing in the need of the Golden Rule, and God does that for us. The third thing is that Jesus asks us to live as children of the Heavenly Father. This is absolutely beautiful. If you go back and reread the text, you'll see that Jesus reminds us that we are the children of the Most High God. That's your title. See, you're God's crowning creation, and as such, you're not destined to a life of mediocrity. I've never heard of God asking us to live a life of mediocrity, but because God wants us to live to our fullest of potential. And that's why he has given us a new heart. He has renewed our heart. That is why he has filled us with the Holy Spirit. We can live by the Holy Spirit. That is why he has given us the tremendous graces of the sacraments, like the Holy Eucharist, to nourish us and to give us the grace we need to go in life. See, our destiny in life is so much more because you're a child of the Most High God. Think about that. You were made for greatness. And while we know that tough love and firm boundaries need to be applied in all situations, Jesus knows that what he has asked us to do, we can do it. I don't believe he would have thrown a carrot out there if he didn't mean for us to grab it. So we can do it. So I'd like to close quickly with a couple of pieces of instruction that come from the saints regarding Jesus' teaching today. It's meant primarily for souls who are well advanced with God in the interior life, and it is meant also as inspiration for souls like me who are in the beginner stages of our faith. But these little pieces of instruction, they can help us to turn challenging passages into something that is much more understandable. The first little instruction is to remember that it is much easier to love than it is to hate. See, here's what happens as you grow in your faith, as you grow in your interior life with God. As you do that, what others think about you becomes less of a priority. What are they going to say about me? Well, it becomes less of a priority. Why? Because your confidence becomes firmly rooted and grounded in God. See, there's the source. There is the source. And when you're firmly grounded and rooted in God, there's an awakening that takes place. And all the saints write about it, and it's this. They would never return to the old way of life. They just wouldn't do it. It's no good. They say it's definitely harder to hate than it is to love. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? I like what James, he sort of put this one, hit the nail on the head on this one, in the first chapter of James. Listen to what he says. He says, one's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Pretty well says it, doesn't it? See? The second little instruction is that those who are your enemies may also, while what they do to you is not right, become your friends in unexpected ways. Have you ever thought about that? Using the example out of today, gossiping and judging and condemning other people. These things can be used for the good of the soul. Paul, as he said in Romans, you know, work together for the good of those who love the Lord. They can be good in that sense, redeeming, because they cause us to cast ourselves more fully into the arms of God. When we are persecuted, we find ourselves casting ourselves more fully into the arms of God. And in that sense, the saints would say that since it draws us closer to God, they are in some way our friends. Something to think about. The third little instruction is that it is impossible to plunge into the deeper depths of Jesus' teaching today without giving attention to your spiritual life, to your interior life. Here's what has to happen. We have to die to our spirit and die to our own will if we really wanted to be guided entirely by the Spirit of Jesus and to love God and love others. But here's the great news about it. People say, I can't do that. Well, why can't you do that? There's nothing in the scriptures, nothing in the teaching that says you can't do that. It's not true. There's nothing stopping you from growing deeper and deeper and deeper in your faith. Nothing. All you got to do is do it. That's really how simple it is. I'd like to leave you with two thoughts for reflection this morning. First of all, the message hashtag is love others. To treat others the way that you would like to be treated, it's real. It is a real precept, and it's not a pious recommendation. It's a concrete reality and not just a mere speculation. So, children of the Most High God, my challenge to you is aim high. Don't settle for mediocrity in your life. That's such a waste of so much energy and creativity that God has given you. The second thing is this. If you want to plunge deeper into the treasures of your faith, just do it. Just do it. Pursue God with all your heart, and you will find actually infinitely more than you ever thought you could find when you did. Always remember to discover the immense riches of who you were made to be, and you will be blessed. God bless all of you.